I want to minister to you this morning from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 10. The text begins verse 1 of chapter 10 and ends at verse 1 of chapter 11. This is the second of five teaching portions that we find in the book of Matthew. The Gospel of Matthew is sort of set up and laid out on the basis of five major teaching sections of Jesus. The first one is what we would refer to as the Sermon on the Mount that begins in chapter 5, goes to chapter 7. And this is the second one. And after I've read portion of the text, I'm going to talk to you a little bit about what's happening in Malawi, and then we'll get into the meat of the message after that. And there will be some opportunity for you to ask some questions as well along the way. So let's just hear what the word of the Lord has to say. And I'm always in the habit of asking people to stand in respect and honor of the word of God. So would you do that with me today? I'm not going to read the entire text of Matthew chapter 10, but I'm going to read the first number of verses. He called his 12 disciples to him and gave them authority to drive out evil spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. These are the names of the 12 apostles. First, Simon, who is called Peter, and his brother Andrew, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector, James, son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions: do not go among the Gentiles or enter any town of the Samaritans. Go rather to the lost sheep of Israel. As you go, preach this message: the kingdom of heaven is near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Do not take along any gold or silver or copper in your belts. Take no bag for the journey or extra tunic or sandals or a staff. For the worker is worth his keep. Whatever town or village you enter, search for some worthy person there and stay at his house until you leave. As you enter the home, give it your greeting. If the home is deserving, let your peace rest on it. If it is not, let your peace return to you. If anyone will not welcome you or listen to your words, shake the dust off your feet when you leave that home or town. Tell you the truth, it will be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah on the day of judgment than for that town. I am sending you out like sheep among wolves. Therefore, be as shrewd as snakes and as gentle as doves. Lord, your word is powerful. It is quick like a two-edged sword. It is able to divide. It is able to separate. And so, Lord, we submit ourselves under your word, and we ask that it would bring life to us, and it would encourage and strengthen your people. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. In a few minutes, we're going to talk about this particular passage of Scripture. And I'm not going to say anything new to you. I'm not going to tell you something that you haven't heard probably many times before. But I am going to hopefully encourage you and refresh your memory and remind you and maybe stir a little something up inside of you that will engage you and energize you to, when you step out tomorrow, think a little bit differently about the day and what faces you in that day and the week ahead than maybe you have on the Mondays over the last week or two. But let's first just take a journey to Malawi. So if you close your eyes and you imagine yourself boarding an airplane and you're going to now travel for 46 hours. Two weeks from Thursday coming, we fly out to Malawi. It will take us 46 hours to get home. We're going to leave here on Thursday, and we arrive in Malawi supper time on Saturday. So it's a long flight. Your arms will be very tired from all the flapping, you know. But when we get there, you're going to encounter an amazing world. Very different. You're going to be able to follow us into many different places. And so I'm going to show you some pictures as we go through. And the first one that I want to show you is this one. It's the Yao Nation, or the Yao tribe, is part of the people that live in Malawi. They live in Mangochi area, which is around the southern border of Lake Malawi, and they spread over into Mozambique. And one of the interesting things is over in the Mangochi area, I can travel from Malawi to Mozambique, and I don't even have to cross the border. As a matter of fact, you won't even know that you've crossed the border because of the tribal situation, and we can work cross-border with the kind of the western edge of Mozambique without any difficulty in that particular region. The Yao people have been listed by the Joshua Project as one of the least reached people groups in the world. There are very, very few Yao people who know Christ. The Yao tribe, they are Islamic in belief and traditional. Their traditional religion is animism. And I won't go into any long description of what that means. It's just traditional tribal religion. And they also have adopted Islamic beliefs as well. So the Yao people are highly resistant to the gospel. Because of their traditionalism, they are resistant to anything that is not in their native language. So to my right, because I'm looking back there, and I guess it's your right too. That little, it looks like a transistor radio. What we have been able to do is the New Testament has been translated into Yao, and it is read and recorded on this little player. And so the Yao people, because they are Islamic, they are accepting of the Word of God. So we bring these little recorders and offer them to them as, would you like to hear the Word of God? And many of them will say yes. And so they'll get together, five or six people sitting around a tree stump, sitting in the front of a building somewhere, and they will listen to the New Testament. And some of them are getting saved. One of the graduates of our Bible college is named Vasco Saidi. Because he's a graduate of the Bible college, he was able to get employment as a secondary school teacher. And he has moved to Mangochi. There was an old church building that was there that had two people attending. Almost, it'll soon be 2 years since he moved there. He has grown that church to almost 30. I think the last count we had was 28 people coming and have given their lives to Christ. And this is one of the tools that he uses to reach people. I have not met this individual personally, but we've heard an account that earlier this year, one of the imams came to Christ and went back to his mosque and apologized for lying to the people and told them about Jesus. So because of the Word of God, just hearing the New Testament in their own language, people are beginning to hear about Jesus and some are beginning to be saved. In fact, I was in Mangochi not very long ago Alen says she was here since March the 25th. She came home, well, we both came home March the 25th, but I went back, and I got back here late June, and was meeting with Vasco. And while we were doing seminars with a few of the leaders down in that area, there was a meeting of the Islamic leaders just about 300 meters away from where we were meeting. You know what they were discussing? They were discussing what they were going to do and how they were going to respond to the Christian invasion. 3.1 million Yao people who do not know Christ are beginning to hear the good news of Jesus. They're beginning to hear the Word of God. Lives, families are being transformed. So be praying about the Yao. This is one of the areas where we are investing a lot of time and energy right now, is with among the Yao people. So pray for us, because the Yao, they are really, they killed a man for bringing a pig into that area. So imagine what they would do to those who bring Jesus. So Vasco Saidi and those that are working with him and those that we work with in Mangochi area are literally putting their life on the line to bring the good news of Jesus. Let's go to the next slide. This is some of the students that are meeting in Blantyre. It's a seminar. So one of the things that we do is we put on leadership seminars, and that's one of those that are taking place. So we're involved a lot with training and developing people in the city of Blantyre. It's a city of about 1.8 million people, and we are involved in leadership training and development so that people will know how to lead and work as servant leaders, and how to bring the gospel into their context, wherever that may be. Let's go to the next slide. Now, you can't see it very well. Maybe you can see it a little bit better if you look back at that one. One of the issues that we deal with on a regular basis is power outages. We can go for 24 hours without any power, and then have power for maybe 8 hours, and then it's gone again. So very often, if we have evening classes, we have to meet in the dark. So we have flashlights that are solar charged, and that's just some of our students who are trying to study and read and prepare for an exam. In the dark. So that's life for us. We are without power more than we are with power. So pray that the Lord helps us to deal with that. It's very costly to run a generator. We do have one, but for us to run a generator for 6 hours costs us almost $50. So we don't run it very often, very long. We run it when we have to. Next slide. These are some of the students that are meeting in our classrooms up in the Long Way. Blantyre is the city where we live. It is in the southern region, 1.8 million by estimate, because we don't have any real statistics. The Long Way is the capital city. Blantyre is the business center for the nation, while the Long Way is the political center. We have classes and we have an extension program that works in Lilongwe, and you can see Hélène there standing, praying with the students. Hélène's role is to be the administrator. She's the one that keeps everything working. She reminds me if I'm missing the budget. I dream. I talk about, oh, we could do this. And Hélène goes, When I hear that, I know I need to back away a little bit, because she's reminding me that whatever we do, we have to pay for. And that maybe there needs to be a little bit of restraint. So she's the one that keeps the mission and the ministry and the Bible college on the rails. I try to give it the fuel to move it forward, but she keeps it from going off the ledge or over the trestle, or you know, she's the one that keeps it on the rails so that it can actually get somewhere. And so she's very, very much involved in the lives of the students. And she's really interesting. I'm not sure why it happens, but when we go to the church or we go to the classes and she's with me, everybody just goes right by me and they go to her. And she gets all the hugs. Anyway, so she's very involved in the ministry, and these are some of the students that are meeting there. This is some of the students that are meeting in one of our classrooms in Blantyre. And as you can see, they're busy at work, and I'm not in the picture, but I'm teaching them. I think we're doing Old Testament studies in that particular class. But those are some of our students. Every one of those students is able to attend those classes because you stand with us. The cost per student would be somewhere in the vicinity of $1,000 per year, U.S. We ask the students to pay about $40 U.S. a year. The rest of it is subsidized. We provide the subsidies for them to be able to attend. Most of those students, they have no income. They have no access to financial resources. It's hard for them to even get $40 a year to come and attend college. So pray for them. But what we are seeing is as they leave the classes, as they leave the school with the diplomas, the certificates, and the degree, they are often able to get work. And then they can support themselves while they plant a church. And these students are going out. One of them is getting ready to go as a missionary among the Yao when we get back in a few days, probably the end of October, sometime in November. Haylord will be going and planting a church in Mangochi. So pray for him. Next slide. These are two of the young men. The one on my right, his name is Innocent, and the one on my left, his name is Chisomo. And these are two young men that will graduate this year in November, and they are getting ready to launch out into ministry. And I've taken them. This particular picture was taken. I took them on a special course to do with leadership development. It was special seminars that were happening in Blantyre, and I took these two young men because we see in them emerging leaders and pastors, and we just wanted to give them something a little bit extra. Pray for them. They are working really hard, and the Lord is using them in powerful ways, but they face unimaginable challenges. And so pray for them. If you can remember, Innocent and Chisomo. Chisomo means grace. African names are very important. People are named for specific reasons. So Innocent and Chisomo. This is in Mangochi. We are working with Vasco, and he is working with a number of other gentlemen who are planting churches out in the very outlying areas of Mangochi. We brought them together for a few days of seminars. We bring them together into the town of Mangochi, where Vasco has his church, and we do leadership training. We're taking them through the Bible college courses gradually and slowly through seminars, and we bring them in for 4 or 5 days to teach a course. We provide meals for them. We don't charge them anything. They are fully subsidized. So we will go there and teach once every 6-7 weeks. We will put on these seminars so that they can be better equipped to reach their people. They are Yao men and women who have come to Christ, and most of them are brand new converts, and we are helping them to understand the good news of Jesus, the gospel, and the Bible, so that they can take that message of hope and life to their people. So pray for them. Some of these gentlemen will ride their bicycle 50, 60 kilometers to attend these classes. So pray for them as the Lord works in their lives. Can anybody tell me what that is? It's an advertisement. It's an advertisement in Mangochi, about a stone's throw away from the church where you just saw us having these gentlemen and ladies in for classes. It's the advertisement outside of a witch doctor's house. The advertisement says this. Bring a chicken, bring a goat, bring some sacrifice, and I will curse whomever you want cursed, and they will die. Witchcraft is a daily occurrence. It is a huge reality. Imagine, what's the name of the local paper here in Woodstock? The Bugle? Imagine if you woke up tomorrow morning and the Bugle arrived at your doorstep and on the front page it said, magic airplane crashes in Woodstock. Think you'd ever read that? Do you know what a magic airplane is? Don't know what a magic airplane is? Oh, well, magic airplane is really easy. You take two tissues, you see, and you take one like this, you take the second one like this, and you make an airplane. And this is exactly what the picture was on the front page of our leading paper, not local, but national paper. This was the picture lying on the ground in front of a house with the headline, magic airplane crashes in Insanje, which is a community just south of where we live. Witch doctors teach children how to make that and fly around the world. Soul travel. You say, is it real? Yes. I have had to work with 8-year-olds who tell me all the places they've been, and they can describe Paris, and they have never left their village. They have never seen a real airplane. We're familiar with the stories of Aladdin and the magic carpet that flies through the air. It's the same concept. Witchcraft is practiced wide range, full broad in our world, and we have to deal with this. Multitudes of people come and need deliverance from the impact of witchcraft. That witch doctor is well known for his power. So pray for the followers of Jesus in Malawi, because they deal with spiritual issues and spiritual warfare on a level that we're not really familiar with here in the West, but we better become familiar with it. Because witchcraft, although it goes by a different name, is widespread. Are any of you familiar with Reiki healers? Do you have one in your community? Do you know that every Reiki healer, when they graduate, they're given a spirit guide? And that as they practice healing, they do so in partnership with a spirit guide. You don't call it witchcraft. I do. It's the same thing. just goes by a different name, and it dresses different. They don't wear the African masks. They don't wear the traditional garb that you saw at the very beginning. But it is the practice of the dark arts. It is witchcraft in a different form, different name, but it's the same spiritual battle. And believe me, when a Reiki healer comes to Jesus, you're going to have to deal with the spiritual side of that. But also believe me, they can come to Jesus. And we might wonder sometimes, why? Why do people go to the Reiki healers, the yoga meditators? Why do they go to these other things? Why do people go to the fortune teller or the psychic, or why are they buying the horoscope magazines, and why do they consult the Ouija board? Why? Because it works. So now we're going to find out from God's word how we can walk in the Spirit and in truth, and let people see the truth, and let people see the truth in and through us. Because you see, we too are people of the Spirit. But here's the difference. When people are impacted by Holy Spirit, they're set free. When people are impacted by the spirit of witchcraft, they are brought into bondage. When they come in contact with Holy Spirit, they find life. When they come in contact with witchcraft, they find death. So let's go. If I was to take my entire message, let's go into the message part and put it into a single sentence, you would find it this way. So if you remember this, you've got the whole sermon. Jesus calls and commissions his church, promising both victory and conflict. So we begin our message, our text. Jesus calls the 12. He calls them to himself. And we need to understand something about the 12. They are the church in microcosm. We are here today an extension of the 12 as they sat with Jesus. Jesus calls them, and he's going to commission them. He gives them authority. We have authority in Christ. Now, we need to learn how to walk in that. We need to understand what that means. But we have authority in Christ. Christ has given you and I authority, his authority. It's a delegated authority. It's not my authority. It's Christ's authority, but he enables me to walk in it. We're familiar with that. You know, we see a vehicle coming up behind us with a flashing red light. What do? We pull over and stop. Why don't we speed up and run away? He said, because I'm not guilty. Even if we're guilty, we pull over. Why? Because the person driving that vehicle has an authority. Now, in Malawi, we live in a police state. There are police stops and checks everywhere. For us to drive from Blantyre to Lilongwe, which is a distance of about 290 kilometers, it takes us 5 hours. And we're going to have at least 12 police checks along the way. We may have more because two policemen can set up a roadblock anywhere. And they step out in front of you and they hold up their hand with a white glove. You're supposed to stop. Now, you know as well as I do that when you're driving a vehicle, that human being standing in front of you hasn't got a chance if you decide you want to keep on going. Why do we stop? Because of a delegated authority. We know that that individual represents the government. They don't have enough authority to stop me. The government does. And I know that if I don't stop, there will be a big price to pay, as do you. You know that. So it's a delegated authority. Jesus authorizes and assigns the 12. And he says to them, as you go, proclaim the good news. The kingdom of heaven is near. The kingdom of heaven is near. Folks, that's our message. We don't have a lot of messages. We don't have a lot to preach in Malawi. You don't have a lot to preach here. We don't have a checklist. It's a really simple message. The kingdom of God is here. At the hospital, in that hospital room, you can declare the kingdom of God has come near. At the funeral home, the kingdom of God has come near. At the wedding, the kingdom of God has come near. If you're there, the kingdom of God has come near. You are a delegated authority of the kingdom of God. I am a delegated authority of the kingdom of God. I stand out in front of that witch doctor's house, and in the name of Jesus, I declare victory. We can declare victory. We can claim the power of Jesus. Their assignment is our assignment, to go and to declare the presence of the kingdom. And Jesus gave validating evidence to them. He said to them, you're going to go and you're going to tell everybody the kingdom of God is near. And so, what? The kingdom of God is near. I can tell you almost anything, right? But you're going to say, prove it. Show me the evidence. I was recently asked if I would come to IBQ, the Bible College in Montreal, Quebec, and teach a course next year. And so I said, yeah, I can come and teach a course. And then the registrar sent me back a note, said, oh, by the way, we are affiliated with Laval University, so we have to get you approved by Laval University. And so he said, what's your title? I said, well, my title is Reverend Doctor. Oh, good, okay. Then he said, I need your certificate. I need a copy of your certificate because Laval University, they're going to want the piece of paper that says you're Reverend Doctor, okay? My word wasn't good enough. Well, you know what? When I go to Mangochi and say, the kingdom of God is near, they say, so what? Prove it. And when the 12 went out and said, the kingdom of God is near, guess what the people said? Prove it. And Jesus said, when you preach this message, here's the validating evidence. Heal the sick, cast out demons, raise the dead. Now, where I live, I have heard reports of the dead being raised. I have not seen it, and I've not seen it personally, but I will tell you this. I never attend a funeral, or because without, I've got to watch my time. What time do you normally get out? 2 o'clock? When someone passes away in Malawi, the body will be taken to the College of Medicine morgue, and the family will have to go there and collect the body. And if it's people that we are associated with or connected with, we will go there with them. And always, because I believe with all of my heart that God's word is true, I am convinced with everything that is in me that what Jesus said is true. And I have lots of questions that I don't have answers for yet, but here's what I will always do. Now, I do it very quietly, and probably nobody in the group that's there knows I'm doing it, but I always get as close to that individual that has passed away as I can possibly get. And I pray, in the name of Jesus, arise. I've not seen it happen yet, but I'm believing and I'm praying, because that is a validating evidence that the kingdom of God is near. And we need to believe that when we walk in the Spirit and we live in the Spirit, that what Jesus said would validate our message is true. Not just in the book of Acts, not just for the 12, but for each of us. Jesus gave validating evidence. Now, he cautioned the 12. He said to them, I'm sending you out like sheep among wolves. That suggests to me that walking in the kingdom of God as a representative of the kingdom of God, walking in the Spirit, is a dangerous place. A sheep among wolves is in danger. I don't know what happens. Well, yeah, I do. I've been around Woodstock, and I know that the wolves in Woodstock, they eat sheep. And we need to understand that the kingdom of darkness doesn't have all power, but it has real power. And we do face an enemy that is real. And we need to walk in the name of Jesus, in the authority of Christ, and in the anointing and in the power of the Spirit as Jesus did. It says of Jesus in Luke chapter 4 that when he came out of the wilderness, he came out of the wilderness full of the Holy Spirit. And he ministered in the power of the Spirit. So we cannot excuse ourselves and say, well, yeah, Jesus did that, but that's Jesus. He's God. No, Paul tells us in Colossians and in Philippians very plainly and very clearly that Jesus, as the incarnate Son of God, set aside the independent exercise of his divine attributes, and he ministered in the power of the Spirit, the same Holy Spirit we have, the same Holy Spirit that came upon the disciples in the upper room, the same Holy Spirit that filled the people at Cornelius' house, the same Holy Spirit that has been filling his people throughout the ages. We walk in the anointing and in the authority of Jesus. We walk in the power of the Spirit that he walked in. And Jesus said, you see what I do? Even greater. Now, I don't know what's greater than touching a dead child and bringing that child back to life. I don't know what's greater than that. I'll settle for that, maybe. But Jesus said that we could walk in the Spirit. I want to encourage you this morning. If you read the rest of this passage, and I'm going to finish quickly. He said to them, be wise as serpents and gentle as doves. Wise as a snake. There was a picture of one of our backyard visitors. I don't know, can we get back to the pictures? Samson is there with a shovel, and he has something really interesting on that shovel. One of our backyard visitors. I don't know if you can get back there or not. Yeah, there it is. Ellen didn't see that one. She was still in Canada. That was in our backyard. Can you see it real good? Yeah. That was in our backyard just about 3 days before I boarded the plane to come to Canada at the end of June. We call that two-step. That thing bites you, you take two steps, and you're dead. It's a black mamba. We encounter those in our yard from time to time. Wise as a snake. That snake will lie quiet and still until the right moment. I don't know exactly what Jesus meant, but I think he was telling us that we need to understand that we don't always have to be loud. We don't always have to be attacking. But if we will be patient and listen and be sensitive to what's happening around us, that we will be aware of the moments of opportunity that come our way. We will become aware of those moments when a ripe time for planting the seed has arisen. You're standing on the street corner and someone joins you on the street corner and you recognize them and you say, "How are you today?" And they kind of, "Well, okay, I guess." That could be a right moment. That could be an opportunity. That could be an opening for you to say, "Oh, it sounds like things aren't all that well. Things not going great." With compassion and care, because you know the kingdom of God is close. If the kingdom of God is close, there's hope. There's healing. There's forgiveness. There's life. There's opportunity. There's a doorway that is opening if the kingdom of God is there. And God, you see, the steps of a righteous man are. So do you think you're on that street corner by accident? Absolutely not. You're there by divine design. It's a divine appointment. And that, I guess. Then you hear the Spirit prompt you. You can speak life. You can offer hope. You don't know where that moment will lead. That moment might lead to an opportunity to pray. Maybe right there on the street corner. Folks, we need to understand the ministry of the Holy Spirit isn't going to end at 12 o'clock. When we say amen, the ministry of the Holy Spirit is going to continue as you go out that door. It's going to be continuing tomorrow. And, you look at my hair, you know I'm not a teenager anymore. Now, I'm not far from a teenager, at least in my behavior, my wife will tell you. I've got a lot of white hair, and I've earned every one of them. I have some water has passed under the bridge, but I am still living a life on the cutting edge of divine engagement. You are never, ever too old. You are never too young. You are always, if there's breath in your lungs, you are in the battle. You are authorized. You are empowered. You are enabled. The Holy Spirit will lead you into opportunity after opportunity after opportunity to speak in the name of Jesus, life into death. You don't have to have a title in front of your name. You don't have to have some kind of, woozy, woozy, woozy thing going on. You just have to be an ordinary, everyday follower of Jesus who wakes up them in the morning and says, "Good morning, Lord. Holy Spirit, I know you've got something for this day. I am open to hear you. I'm open to walk with you. I believe that what Jesus said is true, that the kingdom of God is in me, and wherever I am, the kingdom of God has come near in that circumstance, in that situation, in that place, in that environment, in that condition. The kingdom of God has come near, and the ministry gifts of the Holy Spirit that we read of in the Word of God are able to operate. You can use me to give a word of wisdom. You can use me to give a word of knowledge. You can use me to pray a prayer of faith. You can use me to speak into somebody's life. You can use me to plant a seed that will one day produce a wonderful harvest." That never stops, my friend. And it doesn't matter if you're in Malawi, Africa, or in Woodstock, New Brunswick. The kingdom of God has come near. And people living around us desperately need for the kingdom to come into their life. People are broken. Our world is broken. People are hurting. People are desperate. They put on their faces and they spend lots of time in front of the mirror so that they can trick the world into thinking that it's all together. But let me tell you, underneath of all of that, there's pain. There's searching. Why do people do all of this weird, wacky, stupid stuff they do? It's because they're looking for something. And we've got it. We have it. We have the word that brings life. We have the hope that is in Christ. We have the reality of the presence of God. People should be seeing in us something that causes them to say, "I don't know what in the world is wrong with them. They should be falling apart, but they're genuinely full of joy. Whatever it is they've got, I need." So I want to encourage you. Everything that has happened in and through us in Malawi, the people that we've seen delivered from demonic bondage, miracles of healing, something that happened just a couple of weeks ago, and I'm going to close with this. I just always spend time waiting on the Lord in preparation for Sunday services or wherever we're going to preach and minister, because I want the Holy Spirit to be able to be free to work through us. And a couple of weeks ago, we were at a church, one of the large churches in the Maritimes. I won't name the church. We were there for that Sunday morning. And the Saturday night, as I was actually had just started to lie down in bed, and I was again just saying, "Lord, the Lord gave me a name. Harriet was the name. Now, the Holy Spirit has used Ellen and I in the gifts many, many times. I have never before been given a name." And I thought, "Harriet, that's a strange name. I have a cousin named Harriet. It's not a common name." And then it's going to be all right. And I thought, "Is that me? Or is it you, Lord?" I said, "Well, Lord, I'm not 100% sure, but Lord, this isn't about me. This is about you. And if this name is from you, then I'm going to share it. and I'm so I can I confess that that Sunday morning, as they announced my name, and I've got to walk from the front pew to the platform to preach, my knees were having fellowship. And my heart was beating about 300 miles an hour because I knew what I... And I still wasn't 100%. You say, you're a missionary. You should know for sure. Not always. Because you see, God's voice to me sounds like me. God's voice to you is going to sound like you because he speaks to us through our spirit. So the sound of his voice is going to sound in your head just like your voice. Unless he speaks audibly, which he can do and does do occasionally, but very rarely. Generally, he speaks through our heart, right? So it sounds like me. When God speaks to me, it sounds like me. So sometimes I'm not sure if it's me or him. But I've learned this. God is very able to shut me up if I'm going to make a real big blunder. And so I simply, as I was going to the platform, I said, Lord, I will be obedient because I think this is you. And if it isn't, I'll just commit it to you. Because it doesn't matter if I look foolish. But I'll tell you what, if it is him and I miss it, I rob him of glory. So I stood and I said, and we need to be humble about it. I simply said, I think the Lord has given me a name. And the name is Harriet. Is Harriet here? And far to my left, about halfway down the left side, a lady put her hand up. And I said, the Lord just simply shared this, wanted me to share this with you. It's going to be okay. And she just began to weep. She came up to me at the end of the service. There were a couple of other things that happened, but she came up to me at the end of the service and asked me to pray for her. And I got a chance to talk to her for a little bit. And I said to her, are you a member of this church? No, she said, I'm a visitor. I've only ever been here twice in my life. God knew she was going to be there that day, and he gave me her name. Now, I don't say that and tell you that to put any stars on my crown, because I was terrified. I wasn't sure. I just was willing to step out and say, Lord, if it's me and you can rescue, but if it's you, Lord, and I think it is, I really thought it was, and the Lord was putting me on the line and saying to me, Harlan, you talk about this a lot. Are you really willing to risk? Because it is a risk to say to someone standing on the street corner, I sense that maybe you're struggling with something. Can I pray for you? You don't know what their reaction will be. But that's the problem. We don't know, but we often assume their reaction will be negative. Can I challenge you to dare to believe that Holy Spirit speaks to you? He talks to us a lot. We just aren't always recognizing his voice. We think it's us when it's really him. Can I encourage you to dare to believe that the Holy Spirit can use me? To dare to believe that Holy Spirit is willing to bring hope and life and healing to someone through you? Can I challenge you? Because it's true. Just as Jesus said to the 12, I give you authority, he's saying to us, He has been saying to us ever since the day we came to him and received him as Savior. He's been saying to us, I give you my authority. Walk in my spirit, because where you go, the kingdom comes near. And when the kingdom is near, anything is possible. Folks, there are people all over Woodstock that need a touch of God in their life. And the only way they're going to receive it is through us. It's through us. You see, miracles and mission and all of that is not just for Africa. It's for here. The need is no less real in Woodstock, New Brunswick, than in Blantyre, Malawi. Let me encourage you, dare to risk. It doesn't matter if nothing happens. If nobody had put up their hand, would it have been a disaster? Oh, I might have felt a little bit off. But would it have? Do I make mistakes in this? Yep. But it's not about me. It's not about Hélène. It's not about us. It's about Jesus. It's about life. It's about hope. You probably, most of you have relatives, as I do, that are not walking with the Lord. They need to see that what we believe and what we preach is really true. You say, well, but they can read the Bible. They'll read the Bible and they'll say, oh, yeah, well, okay, it happened back then. Or they may dismiss it completely. They need to see it now. They need to see it now. They need to see the power of the kingdom of God today. Reiki healers are not ashamed to put out their shingle. Psychics are not ashamed to get on TV and announce that they'll tell you your future. Even if they've been bankrupted 3 times along the way and didn't know that was coming, They're not afraid to advertise. The witch doctor isn't afraid to put out his advertisement. Come. Want somebody dead? Come and see me. I'll make it happen. Should we not be less afraid to put out our shingle and say, you want somebody to live? Come, we know the one who gives life. Should we be ashamed and afraid to offer life, hope? So let me give you, in closing, 4 things that will help you along this journey. Pray 5 minutes each morning, offering yourself to the Holy Spirit. Just 5 minutes. The day may come when it'll be much more than that, but start with 5 minutes. You know, sometimes we try to start running when we haven't even learned to crawl yet. Start with 5 minutes. Read Scripture 5 minutes each morning before you make your journey out into the day. And let that word feed your soul and your spirit. Build faith. Listen through the day for those slight nudges, those cracked open doorways, those seemingly unusual opportunities. Listen for them. Expect them. Anticipate that Holy Spirit is going to bring something along your pathway that day that will give opportunity. And lastly, and this is the hard part, dare to risk. Risk. Yes, it's a risk to tell somebody you believe Jesus can heal them and can I pray for you? Yes, it's a risk to say to someone, well, you know, I know where the answer to your problem is. It's a risk to speak that word that the Holy Spirit puts in your heart to that person, because we don't know how they will react. We don't know what will happen. I'm not responsible to make the miracle happen. That's Jesus' job. But I am responsible to step in and risk and offer the name of Jesus, to walk in that authority. You say, Purdy, is it that easy? Yeah. It's that simple. But let me tell you this, after you're not going to believe me, but I've been in ministry for over 41 years. I know you don't think I'm 40 yet myself, so, but I've been in ministry for over 41 years. And as I just shared with the illustration, my knees still knock. When I come up to preach, I still get butterflies. When I'm on the street corner and the Holy Spirit is directing me, I'm still, oh, Lord, is it you? I still struggle. But I've learned, in fear and trembling, to obey. And to remind myself and to remember, it isn't about me. It's the glory of God. And if the Lord and the Holy Spirit is prompting me to do something and I don't do it, I rob God of glory. I rob Him of His opportunity. I rob Him of the opportunity to do in a life what He wants to do. Now, will He send somebody else along to do it at some point? Probably. But I don't want to rob Him of glory. And I don't want to rob people of the impact of an encounter with the kingdom of God and the Holy Spirit. And I know you don't either. And so this is a message of encouragement. Encouraging you that it's never too late to start. You're never too old. And yes, Holy Spirit has been speaking to you. And He has probably spoken through you in moments that you weren't even aware. But He wants to use you in powerful ways to see miracles take place, to see the sick healed, and even, I believe, to see the dead raised. Father, I sense Your gentle Spirit here this morning. I sense the wind of Holy Spirit blowing into our hearts and our lives, raising the level of hope, raising a level of expectancy, prompting us to say, I think this is real. I think this can be my experience. I think Holy Spirit will work through me. I sense Holy Spirit, Your presence, fanning the flame of faith. So Lord, we just commit ourselves to You. Can we just take a moment? Will You stand with me? Will You just take a moment? And I'm just going to ask you to pray one really simple prayer. Just a prayer telling the Lord, I'm available. Lord, I'm available. Now the voice of the enemy is going to tell you, oh, it can't be you because this, that, and all kinds of memories will come flooding into your mind and your heart to try and convince you that it can't be you. In the name of Jesus, I take authority over every thought that destroys faith. I take authority over the enemy that he will not rob the people of God of the truth of his word, and he will not rob them of the call and commissioning of the Holy Spirit, the expectancy of victory. We are your children,
yes.
Called by your name. We're washed in the blood. We are in the kingdom, and the kingdom is in us. So, Lord, we're available. We're available. Now, Lord, bless your people, I pray. Oh, Spirit of God, let there be a kingdom invasion in Woodstock, New Brunswick. Let the power of the kingdom manifest through your children. In the name of Jesus. And let all God's people say amen. Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. Pastor, I turn it over to you.
With our lips, let us sing one confession. With our hearts, hold to one truth alone. He has erased our transgression, claimed us and called us his own. His very own. Hear us, O spirits of darkness, so you will know where we stand. We are his servants, purchased with scars, bought by the blood of the Lamb, blood of the Lamb. His name, called from the dark and delivered from shame, one holy race, saints everyone, because of the blood of Christ, Jesus the Son. We're the people of God, called by his name, called from the dark and delivered from shame, one holy race, saints everyone, because of the blood of Christ, Jesus the Son.